Hello and welcome. My name is Dr. Kenitra Bryant, and today's Motivational AIM targets Empowered and Hope. I'm starting a new series entitled Empowered. It is a 6-part series, and it is derived from my Bible plan entitled Empowered. I decided to take this Bible plan and expound on it for listeners. And in this series, I'm focusing on one story, and I'm sharing different targets that I've learned from this passage of scripture. My aim is to encourage you that no matter where you are and what you're going through, God has blessed us all to live the empowered life. So I'm just going to jump right on in. What does empowered mean? A few definitions that I looked up include acting with confidence, giving someone the authority to do a task, an assignment, or a call. And these are great definitions that fit into the context of this episode, Empowered and Hope. So I'm going to provide a definition for hope since I'm focused on empowered and hope. Hope can be defined as when one cherishes a desire with anticipation. Hope can be defined as one wanting something to happen or be true or to expect with confidence. Once again, these are fitting definitions for both words, and they tie within this motivational aim, empowered and hope. Now for the series, I will focus on Gideon and his journey with God empowering him to do great things. In the passage of scripture that I will focus on throughout the duration of this series will be in Judges, the 6th chapter through the 8th chapter. And I strongly encourage you to read those chapters in your alone time so you can see where and how God empowers you. But I'm going to cover and start with Judges, the 6th chapter, and the 1st through the 24th verse. So let me provide a snapshot of what's taking place in these particular verses. In Judges, the 6th chapter, we discover that the Israelites were not following God's commands. They were doing what was evil in the Lord's sight, and they were out in the open with it too. And by their boldness of disobedience and disrespect to God, the Lord handed them over to their enemies for 7 years. And their enemies oppressed them, and the Israelites couldn't take it. They could dish out the disrespect, but they couldn't take the consequences associated with it. And they were hiding from their enemies, and these enemies were sent by God. God allowed their enemies to come invade their land. So the Israelites, they were hiding. They were hiding in caves. They were hiding in the mountains. They were hiding in strongholds. And they were in uncomfortable places. And that's an eye-opener. It just lets us see firsthand it's best to do what God commands us to do and what God calls us to do. And it's best to live a life of obedience and live by the word of God. Because when God's corrective measures come into our lives and he can use anything to get our attention, we don't want to be hiding. We want to be able to live open and honest lives before him. It's one thing to go in repentance and get yourself together, but it's a whole different ball game when somebody is always running, always hiding in dark places because of the dark things that they've done. But back to the Israelites. They were hiding because they were living wrong. And whenever they planted crops, their enemies would come snatch it up. Whatever they planted, the enemy would attack them. Any idea that they planted, it was snatched. Any investment that they planted, it was snatched up. Anything worth consuming, the enemy came and snatched it all the way up. And then the enemy attacked them, just beat them up. The enemy had them surrounded and destroyed the produce of their land, leaving nothing for the Israelites to eat. And that meant no sheep, no fruit, no ox, no tree, no donkey, nothing. The enemy came through and destroyed their land. The Israelites became poverty stricken, and it got so bad for them. When they understood, even though it was a temporary understanding, they understood that they couldn't get out of this mess alone. So they cried out to the Lord. God heard them, and he sent a prophet to tell them what was going on. The prophet's message went a little like this. This is what the Lord God of Israel says. I brought you out of Egypt and out of the place of slavery. I rescued you from the power of Egypt and the power of all who oppressed you. I drove them out before you and gave you their land. I said to you, I am the Lord your God. Do not fear the gods of the Amorites whose land you live in. But you did not obey me. God, just through that prophet's message, let the people know what you're going through. You did this to yourself. I mean, I heard your prayer and all, but I did all of these things for you. I did these things for your family, your ancestors. I keep on blessing y'all, but what you've done was turn against me. I didn't turn against you. You turned. I didn't. So as y'all sit over here crying, hiding in caves, hiding in dark places, hiding in uncomfortable situations that you brought on yourself, think about what you've done and what you have going on. And recall how your actions contributed to this reality you're facing. Now, I'm going to move on to verse 11. That's going on. But an angel of the Lord came and sat under the oak that was in Ophrah. And this area belonged to Joash. This was a man named Gideon's dad. Gideon was threshing wheat in the wine press in order to hide from the Midianites. He was hiding from the enemy because remember, the enemy would snatch up anything that they had and attack them. So he was hiding, threshing wheat in the wine press in an area where that is not done. Wheat was normally threshed in a place where it catches a breeze. So if something is catching a breeze, it's out in the open. And it was supposed to catch a breeze so that the chaff was blown away. But Gideon couldn't do that. He couldn't do easy things. He couldn't do natural things in the open because he was in a storm. And the storm was the consequence of those he was connected to doing the wrong things. When we are connected to people who consciously do evil in the Lord's sight, we find ourselves doing basic tasks and hiding because of what that relationship and that connection of disobedience comes with. The fact that Gideon was hiding lets us all know that he was going through it. Things were bad. They were real bad because the enemy was lurking and ready to snatch up the little he had. We can deduce that this was going on for a while based on how Gideon interacted with an angel of the Lord. So the angel of the Lord appeared to Gideon and said, "The Lord is with you, you valiant warrior." Gideon replies, "Please, my Lord, if the Lord is with us, why has all this happened? And where are all his wonders that our fathers and our ancestors told us about? Our ancestors told me and my family about all of God's wonders, how the Lord brought them out of Egypt, but now the Lord has abandoned us and handed us over to Midian." The Lord tells Gideon and turns to him and says, "Go in the strength you have and deliver Israel from the grasp of Midian. I'm sending you." So Gideon hears all this. He's like, "Please, Lord, how can I deliver Israel? Look at where I come from. Look at my family. Look where I'm standing. Look what I'm doing. I'm hiding right now, and you telling me that I'm going to deliver Israel? I mean, me and my family, we're not even all of that. I'm not all of that. I'm the weakest in Manasseh. And look at me. I'm the youngest too. Who's going to take me seriously? But the Lord tells Gideon, but I will be with you. And you will strike Midian down. You will strike your enemy down, every enemy you have, as if it were one man. So Gideon heard what God said, and he's sitting there thinking, like, you know what, God, I believe you, but I need a sign, and I need to know if this is really you, God, talking to me, and you're telling me this, or is this some stuff I'm making up in my head because I'm tired of hiding, I'm weak, and I don't like where I am right now. So, Lord, I need you to confirm this for me. So we ask the Lord to accept a gift from him. Gideon goes out, prepares a young goat and unleavened bread. He placed the meat in a basket and the broth in a pot. He brought them out and offered them to him, the angel of the Lord, under the oak. And I just thought about this. The fact that he was able to go prepare meat and bread, and the enemy didn't come snatch it up and attack him, that was a sign right there that the Lord was with him. When God is with us, the enemy can't run up on us like that. So Gideon was asking for a sign, but the sign was in what he was doing and what he was able to do with no disturbance. The sign was, I want to go prepare meat, unleavened bread. I didn't have to hide. And I brought it to this angel of the Lord out in the open. And no enemy came around. That's the sign right there. But sometimes when we are in distress, we're going through things, we can't really see what God is already showing us. We want something major and something big. And God knows how to deliver in those circumstances too. So the angel said to him, after he brought the meat and the unleavened bread, take the meat with the bread and put it on the stone and pour the broth on it. Gideon does it, and the angel of the Lord extended the tip of the staff and touched the meat and bread. When he did, the angel of the Lord, fire came up from the rock and consumed the meat and the bread. Then the angel of the Lord vanished from Gideon's sight. Now, God already provided a sign, but Gideon wanted this miraculous sign, and he got it. And after seeing this, Gideon knows without any doubt that he was face to face with an angel of the Lord. And just knowing that, it startled him. But the Lord said to him, peace to you. Don't be afraid. You will not die. And Gideon built an altar there and called it, the Lord is peace. So for those following along, you read that, you saw that, and for those who listened, you heard it. So we have a little background information on Gideon. We have a young man called by God to do something great in the middle of a storm, a generational storm. Matter of fact, he was in a lot of storms within storms. He was in a generational storm, a relational storm, a spiritual storm, a financial storm, an economic storm, a community storm, a culture storm, a tradition storm, all whilst he went against the current situation taking place. He was going against the current. He was going against the current time, the current condition, and the current state of mind he was in. So he's in the storm. He's going against the current. God empowers him to do something great and unheard of. So he's thinking about what's going on. He's thinking about what he can't change. He's having an identity crisis. And the Lord comes in his life and empowers him with hope. God reassures him that he has purpose. But Gideon is doubting the task. Gideon is focused on what he can see, where he is at this present moment. But God is right there, and he never left Gideon's side as he empowered him in hope. With every excuse Gideon came up with on why he couldn't do something, God empowered him in hope. God called Gideon by the name and empowerment he placed on the inside of him long ago. God told him, "The Lord is with you, valiant warrior." In a sense, the angel of the Lord was telling Gideon, "Hey, you're a courageous fighter. God already placed that in you long time ago, so you need to go in the strength that you have, you courageous fighter, you valiant warrior, you determined soldier, you bold worker for the Lord." And Gideon is looking at what he doesn't have while God is declaring and telling him who he is. And it's bigger than what his current circumstances are. So God confirms it. And you heard how God showed him, "You aren't just talking to somebody random here. I'm telling you who you are. I'm telling you what you will do and how you will be successful. So are you about to believe me? Or are you going to focus on what you can see?" And to ensure that you understand that it's me, God, talking, and not your thoughts, when you go get this meat and this bread and this offering, I'm going to consume it right before your face and disappear. Now, only God could have done something like that. And we know only God did it. Gideon knew that also. So when things got real, when God showed him himself, he was in awe, flabbergasted, trying to figure out, "Oh my goodness, I was in the presence of the Lord up close and personal, and the Lord allowed me to live? Oh my gosh, Lord, forgive me." And God forgave him, told him he wasn't going to die, but God still proclaimed victory, letting Gideon know that peace is with you, peace be to you, you won't die, don't be afraid, and go do what I called you to do. God knows how to confirm who he is in our lives. God knows how to confirm what we will do in this earth as he has purposed for us to do, despite what our circumstances and the trials that we're going through, what it's trying to project onto us, what it's trying to use as a distraction, where we focus on the hurt and not what we need to do. And just like God empowered Gideon in hope, God empowers us in hope. He empowers you in hope. You know where you were in life, or you know where you are in life. For some, you could have already gone through this, or you're currently going through it, and you're going through a similar situation like Gideon. You're in a dilemma. You are operating in an area where you shouldn't be, and you know you shouldn't be there. It could be that you're hiding from your enemies. The enemy's trying to take your life. Sometimes it's not even a person. Sometimes it's a sickness. Sometimes it's a generational habit. Sometimes it's a generational curse. And every time you try to achieve something, the enemy, whether it's an enemy of disease, the enemy of your mind, a person who's a physical enemy, they get their hands on what you're trying to achieve. They have to attack you. They have to pluck it out of your hand. They have to swat it out of your hands. They have to snatch it up to show you it doesn't mean anything. They have to speak against what you do. They have to do something to diminish what you're doing, to kill it, to destroy it. The enemy could be your family, some friends that you thought were your friends. The enemy could be your neighbors, your coworkers, your spouse, your relatives, somebody, your boss, anybody, a group of people. And what do you find yourself doing? You find yourself hiding, retreating, not disclosing what you really have, not sharing the little progress that you have because the enemy wants to snatch it up. Even if it's progress in your mind, thinking positively, casting your cares upon God, trusting God, oh, the enemy trying to snatch that up too. oh yeah, you're getting well, you're doing better in your health, and the enemy sees that, it's all good, but gotta come snatch it up. Or you could be doing good as far as your finances, starting to manage your money better, saving, understanding, hey, I'm not buying that because it's not conducive to what I have going on. I'm on a budget because I have a goal. The enemy sees that. And then he comes on in and snatches it up with some type of emergency, some type of scare, something to get you to spend that money and start all over because he just has to snatch it up. You could be around somebody or a group of people who you had respect for only to find out that they are snakes. Only to find out that they are just around you to snatch some things up in your life. There are people out there who look at the devastation, the low points that you're experiencing in life. And once they hear about something negative taking place, and once they get wind of it, boy, they will just slide on through, making it look like they care. Hey, how's it going? I heard about this. Are you going through a storm? Praying for you. Oh my gosh, I can't believe you're going through that. Call me if you need anything. Oh my gosh, I just want to give you your space. Yeah, I can come by and help you out. You need that? Oh, I can do that for you. Don't worry about it. Stop it. Stop. You know I got you. It's all love over here. It's all love. And what are they doing? They've slid in, trying to snatch up everything you have. They're trying to snatch up your resources, your spouse, your children's mind, your children's things, your stuff, your money, your groceries, your car, everything, your ideas. Snatching up your ideas. They will even come on in to snatch your words. Snatch them, try to manipulate them, twist them, turn them, and then go disseminate the lie of what they distorted, saying that you said something, taking things out of context, so they can snatch up the people who were going to do something for you that they tainted so they can have what they think that you were going to get. And then sometimes they come and snatch up your words because they know that you are a person of wisdom and discernment, and they know you're trusting God. So they look at what you're going through as if they're watching a movie. They find it so intriguing that you're going through this storm, so they just want to see how you're going to handle it. What words of wisdom will you share as you're in despair that hopefully they can record or write down, hoping that you forget so that they can go post it and repost and tweet and go share and even go before a group of people, making it look like that is something God downloaded in their spirit and they're going to teach from it. Some people out here are just straight up wicked snatchers, enemies. What do you do when those things are presented before you? You're doing what you can. It keeps happening to you. For some, it's just evil around you because you have enemies. And then for others, it's going on because it was sent to get your attention because of disobedience. Either way, when a person's going through that day in and day out, it can be very overwhelming. When you're hiding in places that are uncomfortable. And you've been doing it for so long. And it's starting to feel like this is your new normal. This is your life. And you've already created the caves you're going to hide in now. You know what cave you're going to hide in on Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. And you know what valley you're going to lay in Tuesday and Thursday. But as you're in those caves and you're hiding and you are trying to preserve the little that you have, hoping that the enemy doesn't come and snatch it up and attack you, you're over there racking your brain, looking at where you are. And then one day, the Lord speaks to you, because he heard you over there crying and weeping and wailing, asking him why. For those who are walking in disobedience, he will tell us. But for those who are just going through the storms of life for a particular reason and a purpose, he tells us that too. But one day the Lord speaks to you in the middle of the storm, and then God tells you that you are empowered in hope. You are a warrior. You are strong, and the Lord is with you. And you question, just like Gideon did, what? Lord, I'm unemployed. And you over here saying I'm empowered in hope? I mean, I'm unemployed and I'm on the brink of homelessness, but you telling me that I'm empowered? Where are all these blessings, you know, my family keep talking about? I'm trusting you, but where's the increase? Where's the overflow? Where's this abundance? Where's this exceedingly abundantly above more than I can ever ask, think, or imagine? Where is that? And I'm homeless, and you telling me I'm empowered in hope? But God keeps repeating it. You are empowered in hope. And you thinking and you saying out loud to God, Lord, I mean, my relationships have crumbled and they are over. And you're saying I'm empowered in hope? I mean, where's all of this wisdom at? Things aren't working out. Where's all of this honesty and love that everybody seems to get except me? But you're telling me I'm empowered in hope? But God says you're empowered in hope. But once again, those thoughts come up and out of your mouth. You could tell the Lord, I mean, Lord, you over here once again telling me I'm empowered in hope. But people keep backstabbing me. People keep misunderstanding me on purpose. People keep not giving me a chance. They keep overlooking me, excluding me, counting me out, dismissing me, dissing me. Where's all of this keeping you first and you will contend with those who contend with me? Where's all that at? And you telling me that I'm empowered in hope? Lord, I'm over here really going through it. You keep saying that. But where's all this? I've never seen the righteous forsaken or his seed begging for bread. But you over here telling me I'm empowered. I'm empowered in hope. I'm a valiant warrior. I'm a determined soldier. I'm victorious. I'm more than a conqueror. Lord, do you see what I mean? I'm really going through. Have y'all ever been there? Have you ever been there? Are you there now? What we should focus on is what God said. The blessing is in what God says about us. And if God said it, and he is not a liar, whatever you're going through, he said you are empowered in hope, and you are a mighty warrior in your storm. You are a mighty warrior even when the enemy is pursuing you to snatch things from you and attack you. You are still empowered because he said so. Now, you might be looking at your identity and what's going on in you, around you, within you, but God knows what he's bringing out of you and where you're going and where he's taking you. And even though you are beating yourself up and you believe what God says, you just don't understand it because you're trying to figure out how you get from now to later. How do you get from the storm to the blessing? Keep your eyes on what God is telling you and believe what he's saying. God is telling you the truth. The circumstances want you to believe a lie, the lie that you'll be there forever and that you are not who God says you are. You heard what God said, but don't be too busy looking at your flaws and your insecurities, looking at what you can and can't do, who you have and who you don't have. God has already told you that he will be with you and you will do everything he declared you would do because he's the one empowering you in hope. God is letting us know that he's the one who is with us. He's the one who defeats our enemies. He's the one who defeats those negative thoughts, those generational setbacks, those cycles that you continuously deal with. God will empower each and every one of us when we are obedient to him, when we trust him and keep him first. God will empower us to defeat all our enemies as if we are beating up and dealing with one man because he's with us. Now, it might look intimidating, but God is letting us know when we're with him, the enemy is the weak one and he's the strong one. So if you ask God for a sign, expect that sign. God knows how to confirm that he's the one who called you, he's the one who approached you, and he's the one who declared that you were empowered to live a life of victory. When God shows you the sign that you've been looking for you to take action, stop racking your brain. Stop worrying, stop fretting, stop hiding, and go forth in faith to do the great things God has empowered you to do. Things you don't even know were already planned for you to do. God already promised you a future and a hope. And when God provides you with that sign, what will you do? Will you look at the confirmation that you are empowered in hope to do great things and you are empowered to overcome great challenges? When God shows you the sign, will you go back in hiding because of fear? Or will you trust that God will carry you through because he's with you to the other side of victory? Will you believe his words? Will you believe that he's with you? Will you believe that you're a true valiant warrior? And will you believe that God has granted you peace? What will you do when God empowers you in hope? Well, if you're bold and you receive what God declared about you, you might want to write it down, journal it, and think on it so you can create a memory. So you'll never forget where God brought you from. You'll never forget how God heard your cries. He saw where you were hiding. He saw what you were constantly beating yourself up with. He saw that you were beating yourself up with past thoughts, present issues, and future concerns. He saw the enemy attacking you and snatching things up and just bombarding you with lies and deception. But God saw that and defeated every enemy around you with his word. And then he had to come back and remind you of who you were and whose you were. God empowered you in hope to take a chance that he would perform what he promised in your life. You are empowered in hope. Don't take that for granted and don't take it lightly. Aim to do what God commanded you to do, even in the midst of what looks impossible. And the scripture I would like to leave you with is Judges, the 6th chapter and the 12th verse, and it states, "Then the angel of the Lord appeared to him and said, 'The Lord is with you, valiant warrior.'" I selected this scripture to remind you and to review with you of what God said about you and me. No matter where we are, God has empowered us in hope. We have hope because God is with us. And if God is with us, he will make sure everything he promised about us and everything he empowered us to do is accessible for completion when we obey him. Remain empowered in hope. Okay, so thanks for tuning in. Visit drkenitrabryant.com to download the Empowered Bible Study. And on the site, you can grab some apparel, aim to inspire and remind you of who you are in Christ. You can connect with me on Instagram at Aim Towards the Target and on the YouVersion Bible app, where you can download, subscribe, and complete a variety of Bible devotionals aimed to remind you that you are empowered in Christ. May God bless you with the strength, boldness, hope, courage, and revelation to do great things that bring Him glory, praise, and honor. May God also empower you to be the best version of yourself every day of your life as you impact others in your day-to-day interactions. And declare out loud today, and you can repeat after me, I am empowered by God to do great things He strengthened me to do. I am empowered to succeed, and I am daily empowered in favor and purpose. I receive this as done in Jesus' name. Peace and God bless.